Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Shine, you're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you last week? Well, last week, we talked about a lot of things. We started off with our Due Time crew talking about things that some married people miss, yes. And one was sleeping alone. Yes, you know how it goes. You're accustomed to not having to share that bed, not having to share that pillow, not having to share that blankie. Yep. What about sleeping in? Yesterday we got some good sleep, but baby, I got to tell you, when you're up and you're turning on the lights and you're turning on the radio and you're turning on the TV and all kinds of things and, and I'm still trying to get some sleep. Oh, my. It gets a little rough. What about being able to focus on work without feeling guilty about not quite paying attention, you know, to some of the other people in the house, you know, without anyone feeling, you know, quite like they were being left out, what they had been left out. You know how that goes? And then you have to worry about, you know, somebody else possibly complaining. Yeah, that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing, okay? So, you know, those are some of the things that you kind of miss when you're married. But you know what? You get over that stuff. Yes, because then you'll find that, you know, love is bliss and married life is bliss. And you really enjoy the love of that other person. Okay? All righty. Well, we definitely could not get through a Monday without having our Witch Tip with Shanti. Appreciate your spiritual wisdom. And I tell you, ever since that Witch Tip, you know, you look around and sometimes, yeah, things go down and you're trying to get through, you know, trying to figure out what's going on with an individual. And you realize that there's no spiritual wisdom going on. And when you don't have spiritual wisdom, you're kind of running on empty. Because you do a lot of things that, you know, you shouldn't be doing. you talk about some things that you shouldn't be talking about. You're paying attention to some things that you shouldn't be paying attention to. And, you know, what are you going to end up doing? You're going to end up making some big boo-boos. And before you know it, you're going to be in trouble. So you know what? If you're watching people and you're seeing that you're not making the mistakes or the decisions that they're making, count yourself blessed, because you just might be operating from that spiritual wisdom, something that they don't have. Okay? All right now. Well, let's talk about a Tuesday church. Folk gave bowls around. And we talk about, you know, three different instances and, or three different news stories, I should say. And one was about a man who, you know, fell off a cliff after planning to jump off the cliff in front of his wife and son, and ended up losing his balance and actually falling to his death. We then talked about this woman who is living with a whole entire slew of guilt because she lied on her husband and got him sent back to jail because she thought that he was cheating. And then tried to go back before the judge and apologize and, you know, tell the truth and get him out of jail. And the judge said, no can do. You're going to pay for that story, and he's going to have to sit in there, you know. And then we talked about the man who, after killing his girlfriend, strangling her to death, put her in a garbage bag, took her, and dumped her in a pit that he had dug, a ditch he had dug up in his backyard, only to drop dead of a heart attack. Ooh, I tell you, some rough stuff going on here. Well, you know, after that, we ended up kind of zeroing in on the ladies and, you know, just talking about how often we kind of drop the ball and we do not... do the wifely duties? Yes. You know, are you going to accompany your husband to a cliff jump, maybe for some photo ops or some social media numbers? Or are you going to, you know, lie on your husband when you're angry, or tell, you know, other stories or do other things when you're angry and now you have to pay for that, or he has to pay for your anger? Well, is that going to go down like that? Is that what we're supposed to do according to God? You know, we were sent here for, you know, as a helpmate. And it didn't sound like these ladies really did a great job at that. So we want to make sure that, you know, you take the time to, you know, get a little bit of that thought in. Okay? Don't act irrationally or, you know, passive, and, you know, this might cost him his life one way or another. Okay? All righty now. Well, wow, Wednesday rolls around, and Big Wednesday, as always, as we, you know, spoke to the ladies, and we had a nice little conversation with the ladies, and I'm going to send you back to go listen. Now, I used to do that all the time, you know, go back and listen. Well, this is going to be one time I'm going to send you to go back and listen. I haven't done that in a while. So, yeah, go back and listen. You know, that way you can pick up on all the good stuff. Okay? All right. Well, one of the things we ended up talking about, I will say, unfortunately, was last week, was the Uvalde, Texas shooting by the 18-year-old young man. And, unfortunately, 21 lives We're taking 19 children and two adults, two teachers. And, you know, that was the topic, one of the topics, you know, that we, two topics we talked about last weekend. You know, that's why I said, you know, I'm going to send you to go back and listen. That way you can kind of hear what we were talking about last week. The ladies, that is. Okay? All right. Well, Therapeutic Thursday was here before we knew it. And we continue our conversation about Grandpa. Yes, the grandfather of the shooter who claims that, you know, he did not know that his grandson had guns in the home, rifles, that is, in the home. He had no idea that he was driving because he did not have a driver's license, so he didn't know how, you know, to drive, according to him. And he was really kind of out of it when it comes to knowing what was going on with the grandson, you know, and I'm sure he's feeling bad because one of the first victims of this rampage was his wife. Yes, the shooter's grandmother who was shot in the face by him. Yes, so can you imagine what this grandfather must be thinking? Yeah, you went to sleep at the wheel, didn't know what was going on. And now it could have cost your wife her life. Well, we also talked about mom who claimed that, you know, mom was the shooter, that is, who claimed that she had no idea what was going on with her son. You know, he wasn't a bad kid. You know, she knew he was using drugs. And that was one of the things that pushed him out of the home. Yes, he was no longer living with his mother. I wonder why. Yeah, well, unfortunately, she didn't know what was going on either. And now how many people are dead because another person was asleep at the wheel? Because you're not going to ever convince me that there was none of this erratic, irrational anger going on around these people and they had no idea what was going on. Yeah, that's what we talked about. Well, Freestyle Friday rolls around, and we did have our conversation with the men, and it was a great one, a great one. You know, we talked about protecting our children, and one of the things we talked about, protecting our children from ignorance. Yes, you know, we do have a responsibility to cover our children and help them not to be ignorant. Yes, ignorant of a lot of things. Ignorant of life, you know, ignorant of things that are going around, you know, around them, you know, occurrences, or, you know, just kind of sleeping at the wheel themselves, you know, seeing some danger. Yeah, there's a lot of areas of being ignorant. You know, we talk about protecting them from lies. Yes. You know, especially if mom doesn't get along with dad or dad doesn't get along with mom and now they're slinging, you know, all kind of lies around the child or the children. Yes, you know, we have a responsibility of making sure that they also don't become liars, protecting them from becoming liars. Yes, you can do these things. Now, whether they end up becoming liars or not, that's a whole different story. That's an entirely different story. Okay? Now, we also talked about them, you know, and protecting our children from becoming users, not just protecting them from users, but protecting them from becoming users. Yes, Brother Al talked about them kiddies in that school, and he sees how they can become users. Yeah, well, we have to also, you know, protect them from that as well. Okay, so they definitely, the gentlemen, sent us into a wonderful weekend experience and a long one, I must say. Yes, because we took a break and we did not have our word prayer project. So people were out grilling and, you know, launching the summer. So we kind of gave everybody a little break. I hope you were praying, because I sure was. And we took a break yesterday as well before the Memorial Day holiday. Again, you know, kind of giving people a chance to sleep in late without, you know, missing a few times. Listen, you got a whole lot of episodes to listen to when we're not on. So, you know, you can sleep late and then still get up and listen to an episode. You know, was there something you missed last week? Week before? Possibly. You know, we're on demand here on Blog Talk Radio. We're on demand on Spotify, iHeartRadio. We're on demand on Apple iTunes and Apple Podcasts. We're on demand on Amazon Music Podcast. Yeah, it's definitely on all of those different media platforms. And you can listen to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph anytime you want to. If you want to listen to it all day long, you can do that too. Yes. So just go on the marathon. You know how we binge watch all those TV programs? Well, guess what? You can also binge watch It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Yes. At this point, you can even binge watch or binge listen the Word Prayer Project. Yes, because I believe we've got 27 prayers in the can. Yeah, so you've got some listening you can get done. And you can always have God in your ear one way or another. Okay. Well, today is Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day. And I am so looking forward to us having a good old time today. And we got some things to talk about. You bet we do. All right. So come on. Let's get that healthy breakfast in us. And let's make sure we let a friend or a family member know it's due time when Pastor Steph is on. And most of all, don't go nowhere, because we'll be right back.
Celiac disease is a serious genetic autoimmune disease.
It can cause anemia,
osteoporosis, infertility, and even certain cancers.
Currently, the only treatment
is to eliminate foods with gluten.
The protein found in wheat, barley, and rye.
Foods like bread.
Or beer.
Or birthday cake.
And even on a strict gluten-free diet,
many of us still experience symptoms.
Which is why we need more awareness, understanding, and research.
For treatments and a cure. Learn more at beyondceliac.org.
Good morning, and good morning again. And welcome to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it's Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day. Did you enjoy your late morning sleeping yesterday? I hope so. Because I sure did. Oh, did we sleep? And we needed that sleep. We so needed that sleep. And I'm telling you, we slept and we slept and we slept. And then we slept. So I hope you got a chance to do the same thing. But I'm so happy to be back with you again. You know, when I'm not with you, I miss you. Yes, I do. And I trust that God has brought you safely through, you know, a wonderful weekend and into a fantastic beginning of the week. Mm-hmm. All right. So if you care to, you know, get this pen and paper out, because there's some information I'm going to run by you. Now, you may not need it, but I tell you one thing. Someone you know may very well need this information, and you want to make sure you have it, okay? All right. This morning, we're talking about those migraines. Yep, we're talking about those migraines, and these are the things the experts say you should not do for a migraine. Yeah. Well, the first thing they say, number one, don't drink too much caffeine. Okay? They say a caffeinated beverage is often recommended to help relieve migraines. And they say in small amounts, it can relieve early stage migraine pain alone, but too much can definitely lead to headaches later on. Okay, they say withdrawal headaches later on. So if you're overdoing the caffeine, then your body is now going through a level of withdrawal, and that kind of defeats the purpose, right? All right, so don't drink too much caffeine, okay? Well, another thing they say don't do is skip meals. Number two, don't skip meals, okay? They say that when you're in the throes of a migraine, grabbing a bite to eat may be the last thing on your mind because you just want to keep your head on that pillow. But they say it's important to avoid going for long periods of time without food to keep your blood sugar on an even keel, okay? They say fasting and hypoglycemia, and that's, you know, your blood sugar level being really low, they say can trigger migraines and other headaches or make your migraine worse. So you definitely don't want to do that, okay? What about number three? They say don't eat simple carbs, okay? They say when you eat simple carbs such as white sugar and pasta, we all know that that sends your sugar level rising, and it says it tells your body to produce more insulin to help break down the sugar. But more insulin can cause your blood sugar levels to drop significantly. So they say this then spikes, this spike makes your blood sugar level plummet, which can lead to headaches and migraines. So in other words, it just does the opposite of what you actually want. And now you end up with a migraine or a headache anyway. Okay. The next thing they say not to do, number four, don't vigorously exercise your migraine away. They say some people turn to exercise during a migraine, and they're saying hoping that, you know, it'll eliminate the pain. They say it can be helpful since the body releases certain chemicals that help alleviate anxiety and depression and, you know, the things that make migraines worse. But they say exercising too vigorously can actually trigger a problem. Yes. So you don't want to do that. They say possibly because it changes your blood flow to the brain, during prolonged exercise. Okay? So they say, you know, if you're going to exercise, do a long warm-up opposed to the actual vigorous exercise, or do like a little more walking, you know, light walking, moderate walking, so you don't end up with a headache or keeping those migraines going. Okay? Alrighty. Now, they also say number five, don't steer clear of all triggers. Okay. They say doctors have always advised patients with migraines to steer clear of their triggers, such as your stress level or certain foods. But they're saying new research shows that avoiding these things may actually increase sensitivity to your triggers. They say it may be more helpful to learn to cope through things like relaxation therapy or stress management, or, you know, keeping a diary, writing down or writing about your triggers, okay? And that might, you know, provide a little more relief, okay? Number six, don't avoid touching your head. Though adding more pressure to your throbbing head may seem, you know, counterintuitive, putting pressure on your temples and massaging your scalp can actually ease the pain when you have a migraine, okay? They say it may also help to put a cold, damp cloth on your forehead or lie down in a dark, quiet room, okay? And number seven, these are the things that they don't want you to do while you're having a migraine. Don't only take medication. They say medication has been proven to help treat or prevent migraines, but it can't work alone. They say make sure you have a healthy lifestyle. Make sure you eat well, you sleep well, you exercise regularly, and you control your stress level, okay? And that alone can help reduce the frequency and severity of your migraine. Okay, and they say, you know, migraines can be a real pain in the head, but you don't have to suffer, all right? They say make sure you keep a diary of when your migraines occur, and they said because at that point, you can help to maybe combat future migraine headaches, okay? So, let's go over the things they say not to do when you're having a migraine. Don't drink too much caffeine. Number two, don't skip meals. Number three, don't eat simple carbs. Four, don't vigorously exercise it away. Five, don't steer clear of all triggers. Six, don't avoid touching your head. And seven, don't only take medication. Okay? All right. And like I said, you may not be the one who actually, you know, get the headaches or the migraines, rather. But make sure you get this information out to someone who does. Okay? All right. Well, I got a couple of stories to talk about this morning. Oh, my goodness gracious. Now, you know, they've been talking about all these shootings. Yes, these mass shootings, they're saying, are copycat, you know, shootings. And, you know, these are people who are just imitating, you know, what they hear or what they see. Well, I got some proof of that. I got some proof. They say detectives have arrested an 18-year-old Florida man after receiving a tip that he threatened a mass shooting at a school in a social media post. So this Corey Anderson,
his post showed him with a gun, a handgun, a rifle, and a tactical style vest, along with a caption that said, "Hey Siri, directions to the nearest school." Can you imagine this nonsense? Yes. They say he was arrested at his home and charged with written or electronic threat to conduct a mass shooting or act of terrorism. And they are all over it. You know, the police have really received a lot of flack for their actions or lack thereof of last week's, you know, incident. And they're like, this is not a laughing matter, which is what the Post said. Yes, the Post showed that this is no laughing matter. Well, it surely wasn't. And, you know, they're really reflecting on all of the times when, you know, these gunmen have been on social media. And, you know, this is something that they're trying to really prevent out in Florida. And they're like, hey, we're not playing. And they booked him. And, you know, he was later released on bond. And that's the other thing I want to talk about, you know. So you have something on social media. So I'm sure they seized, you know, his weapons. But who's to say they were the only weapons he had? So you arrest him for the social media post. You take the weapon. And then you let him back out on bond. No, these people, I don't care how, they need to be held without any bond or bail. You know, this is what you're going to do to really show them you mean business. Not just, because my thing is, well, what kind of bond did you have that somebody could come and post it? Because these kids, they ain't got no rich parents. Not all the time. Last week, he didn't have no rich parents. He surely didn't. He have no rich grandparents. He have no rich mama. So I don't know. I don't know if that's the best, you know, that's the best plan to have. You know, you're going to release this person on bond. No, that's dumb. In my opinion, that's dumb. You don't do that. You might as well not even bother. Well, we're talking about whether these shootings are copycats. Well, you know, that's my new thing. Well, ready? Florida must be going buck wild because it, yet again, they've made an arrest in Florida. And charging this next individual with sending a text message threatening to carry out a mass shooting. And they had to arrest somebody in elementary school. Yes, a 10-year-old boy was arrested. He was interviewed and later charged with making a written threat to conduct a mass shooting. Yes. And they showed the video with the little boy being led to the police vehicle. And, you know, the sheriff is saying that, you know, this behavior is sickening, especially after what just happened last week. And he's like, listen, right now, it's not the time to act like a little delinquent. It's not funny. It's not cute to make these fake threats. And now he's going to experience some real consequences. Yeah. And they say they are not wasting 1 second to investigate anything and not only investigate, but to act on, you know, these threats. Now, I got a question, so make sure you hit me up, 347-285-7777. I want to know if these people who they're arresting should be let out on bond. And in the instance of this 10-year-old, how are we addressing this? Okay? How are we addressing this little kid? Are we, you know, this is a text message he sent, and you're expecting that he does not have, you know, these weapons to carry out this mass shooting that he put in this text. But how are you addressing this? Okay? How are you addressing this? You know, they arrested him, and interviewed him, and then charged him, you know, with making these threats. You know, and like I said, you know, it was a fake threat because, again, they're doing this copycat thing. So now you got this going to where these kids, they think this is cute. How do you think it's cute when you have some people that could be in your class? You know, how would you have felt had a gunman come in your school and shot up the school? How would you have felt? Because we're not talking about adults who are, you know, who are making these threats. We're talking about children. He's 10 years old. He's not really a whole lot older than the children who were killed in this particular instance. However, how many other 10-year-olds have been killed in these mass school murders? So I don't understand. How do you even at 10 years old think this is a joke? And I don't want to hear nothing about no mental illness. I don't want to hear nothing about that. Ain't nothing wrong with him. Nothing wrong with him at all. So now you've got the 10-year-old making these threats, knowing that they, you know, you're going to see what they're going to do if you text this thing or if you put this on some level of social media. Really? I don't know. So come on, hit me up, 347-285-7777, and let me know what you think the course of action should be. You know, should this be some long-term thing? Should this be a short-term response? Let me know. I'm really interested in hearing what you think. Okay? Well, here's another thing that I want to hear what you think. Okay? So you got some classwork to do. So check this out. They say a captain of an airline out in Italy, well, I don't know where it originates from. I guess it's an Italian airline. Flying from New York to Rome on April 30th, dozed off during the flight. Now, here's something that I had no idea about. They say the co-pilot is allowed to nap for a controlled rest, quote unquote. But the captain is supposed to be awake and reachable. Well, they say the communications blackout lasted for 10 minutes, as a matter of fact, over 10 minutes, while the plane was on autopilot. And what happened was it sparked a terror alert with the French authorities warning their Italian partners that a terrorist hijacking could possibly be underway. So They're calling for an official, they want an official apology from the carrier. And they say that, you know, they're not taking this lightly, okay? Because the company has a duty to guarantee that, you know, the passengers are safe, that these kind of things don't happen. And, you know, this was just something that's unacceptable. So here's how they say this supposedly went down. So they tried to reach out to the pilot during the flight, and they didn't get an answer. So they continued to try, but no answer. They tried to even contact them on their cell phone. So they have a satellite, both pilots have a satellite cell phone. They couldn't get in touch with them on that either. So what they did was they alerted two fighter jets to prepare to fly near the passenger plane to actually look and find out what was going on in the cabin, in the pilot's cabin. And they were continuing in the interim to still reach out and get them to respond. And they still couldn't get them to respond. And then at the last minute, before they could tell them to actually take off, they finally answered. And pilot was saying all kinds of things. He was saying that, something was wrong with the equipment. But after they investigated, they did like a test on all the equipment, and they were like, no, everything was working. Now, he also claimed that something else was wrong, and when they did that, they tested that, they were like, no, nothing was wrong. So they knew he was lying. Now, what can you say to your, to the powers that be that explain why you weren't answering for over 10 minutes? But here's the problem. They still don't know what happened with the co-pilot. They don't know whether the co-pilot was sleeping or not, because the co-pilot never said when they did their investigating that he was asleep. Yep. They never could get heads or tails as to what happened. So they don't know if he was covering. He was really asleep, and he was covering for the pilot, who should not have been asleep. But they don't seem to have a plan in place that allows the pilot to sleep, and the co-pilot has to be awake. Now, that's the interesting part, because I would think it would work that direction, not the opposite direction. So, guess what? Thank you, God, he ended up being fired. Yes, I'm saying thank you, God, because you really can't. You really can't let this one go. You can't. You can't. They say that this controlled rest for the co-pilot is allowed between 10 and 40 minutes on a long-haul flight. So, from New York to Rome, is considered a long haul flight. Well, I guess so. You got quite a bit of distance there. And no, they're like, you can't take this. And you know what? I think everybody is in scared mode. Yeah. I think everybody's afraid now. I think this thing that happened in Uvalde, Texas, I think it's going to put everybody on alert. Yep. I think it's going to put everybody on alert. They're not going to let anybody who acts on a level of negligence get away with it. And they are really trying to smash this police department, who they say waited 80 minutes. I haven't done a whole lot of reading on it, but I keep glancing past, you know, just bits and pieces. And they're saying that last week there was an 80-minute delay of those people responding and going in, the authorities going in, and they're saying that that could have possibly made a difference. You know, why were you waiting for backup? And you failed at doing your job. And for whatever the reason is, they're giving as an excuse, they're not accepting it, not with 21 lives, including 19 children. They're not accepting this, and they say some heads are going to fly for this one. Now, because of that, I anticipate, now I could be wrong, you know, I'm just my little pea brain. I'm anticipating that everybody is going to be on high alert. And they're not, every little thing people do now, you're going to be risking your job. Every little thing you do, if you don't do it right and you have other lives in your hands, yeah, they slicing everything and everybody. Now, I could be wrong. Now, I'm going to ask you, come on. I want to know. With the other instance, with this fifth grader, you know, what do you think they should do with him, you know, in regards to him sending out this text of, you know, threatening this mass shooting of a school? And what do you think they should have done with this pilot? Do you think that they should fire him or give him a warning? What do you think should go on? I just want to know what you think. You know, y'all always hear what I think. I want to hear what you think. So let's talk to our due time crew. Let's say good morning to our Pastor Charlene. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning. How are you today, my love?
I am actually well, thank you, Pastor Charlene. How are you today?
I am good today. Thank you.
Good. Did you get some barbecue in you yesterday or over the weekend?
I grilled in.
All righty. So I'm glad that you got your little holiday barbecue going on. Now, we're talking about this 18-year-old who... You know, he posts on social media, "Hey Siri, get me to the nearest school." And he's got a handgun, a rifle in his picture, as well as a vest. And they're saying that these things are, you know, they've been saying this for a minute, that all of these shootings have been copycat shootings. Do you agree that these are copycat shootings?
Yes, I agree, because of the fact that you learn it from somebody. For this ages that you're saying, 17, you're getting it from somebody. So all of this TV, these games and all of that stuff, and then the people that they see are doing this, absolutely.
Okay. Well, Pastor Charlene, you have this 10-year-old who puts this text out there. And he's fifth grader, and he now wants to text this threatening message that he's going to conduct a mass shooting. So go back a minute. I wanted to know if you feel that the 18-year-old should have been arrested and then let out on bond.
Arrested, yes, not let out on bond, because a threat is a threat. And nowadays, treat them as if they're little terrorists.
All righty. Now the 10-year-old, what do you think they should do with him? He's only 10. He's only in the fifth grade. We know this is a copycat. What are they doing?
Same thing. Take his little Jaime on to Little Prison, and because a threat is a threat. We have to get to the place where that enough is enough. Because we know in some places they teach their children how to kill. So it's not funny. Give him some time as well. Enough is enough with these guns.
All righty. All right, now we got this pilot who is flying from New York to Rome. And for over 10 minutes, they cannot get in touch with him. And they believe that not only was the co-pilot taking his, what do they call it now? Let me get my little thing. This, controlled rest. That the pilot is also taking a controlled rest. What do you think about this from here?
See, I told y'all I don't like planes. See what I'm saying? That was my first thought. But, because you got people's life in your hands. So you need to be locked up and not as well as fired, of course. And what was y'all doing? Was y'all back there getting high, something, you know, drinking? What was y'all doing? Because y'all was in scam and doing something. And I think that they should get punished as well. Because however many people is on this plane, you have taken their life. And it's, to me, it'd be like attempted murder. Because anything can have happened.
Wow. All right. Pastor Sean says attempted murder. Okay, Pastor Sean. Thank you very much for joining us today. We're going to see what your other panelists have to say about this thing, if they agree. Now, come on, give me a hit, 347-285-7777, and let me know, should the 18-year-old have gotten off on, you know, on bond, you know, or you know, have bond awaiting his, court date and trial? What should you do with the 6th grader, 10-year-old, who put that text out there threatening to commit a mass shooting at a school as well? And what should happen with the pilot? And should the co-pilot be held accountable and made to speak and tell what happened? But maybe he was sleeping. He can easily say he was sleeping, but do you ask him and try to hold him accountable as well? Let me know. Let's say good morning to our Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
God bless you. Good morning. How are you today, Pastor Steph?
I am well. Thank you, Pastor KL. How are you doing over there?
Oh, man, I was glad when they said unto me, come on, get on the radio.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. Were you able to get some barbecue when you had all over the weekend?
No, I barbecued at the job. We had to work.
What?
a holiday for you is a sale day for me.
Wow. Did anybody at least bring you a burger or a hot dog or something?
No. A prophet is not honored in his own home.
You know what? I can't you. Well, we got to make it up to you. You got to make sure you get a burger or something. Make sure you get a 4th of July. We'll take care of you guys. Spend 4th of July. 4th of July. Pastor KL, what is going on? Do you believe that these are mass murderings? You know, it's a copycat movement, and you've got this 18-year-old who's got a handgun, a rifle, and a tactical style vest in a picture with a caption that says, "Hey Siri, take me to the nearest school." Is this a copycat, or do you honestly believe that these people are carrying these things out on their own?
No, I think that's a copycat. But I just think that, you know, people's sense of humor, it's quite off sometimes. You know, this is a sensitive and delicate situation. And I don't think that he meant to carry that out. I just think that he thought that was funny. And that wasn't funny. It wasn't cute.
Okay. Do you think that might be why they let him out on bond?
I think so. I mean, I think after speaking to the idiot, they kind of figured out that he could not have carried that through. You know, but I think that's why they let him out on bond. Because, again, I think people just do stuff to be seen for attention, to get a laugh. And some stuff is just too sensitive at the present time to be making jokes about it.
Okay. Well, he's got a handgun and a rifle and a tactical vest. Couldn't he carry that out?
He could have. I mean, I'll even go one further. You know, they had a bunch of proms, and they had the woman and the man dressed to the nine, but with Bonnie and Clyde, they had rifles and all type of stuff in their pictures. You know, and some of them, again, because they didn't realize the sensitivity of it, they lost scholarships to colleges. Thought it was cute. I just don't think that we think very well.
Yeah, that was dumb. That was straight dumb. Why would that even be funny to you? You know,
right.
Even before this Uvalde, they've had several, you know, mass shootings. You've had the one with the in the supermarket. You've had the one on the train. You've had several. So why would that even seem humorous or inviting to do this? I don't understand. I agree with you. We do not think at all. That was dumb. And you know what?
And you know, let me tell you something about me. I don't want the police to pull me over for a stop sign, for a seatbelt.
Yep.
You know, so I don't want you to pull me over or talk to me on a good day, let alone me giving you reason to come question me.
Right. That wasn't smart at all. That was just stupid. We have this 10-year-old who sends out a text who also thinks this is somehow humorous and cute. But what are we doing with him? That's what I want to know. What are we doing with him?
To him, and this is just me personally, you have to get to the parents. So if you hit the parents with a high fine or some jail time because you are responsible for this child, then maybe someone would get to this child. You know, but someone has to be responsible for this child. You know, first of all, you know, this young, he has a phone. You already know how I feel about these little kids with phones. You got access to computers.
Right.
I don't understand why no one's monitoring your playtime. You know, even when you go on a play date, you're supposed to be with an adult. No one's monitoring what you're doing, and now your child has gotten caught. So someone needs to be responsible for that. And you, as the parent, you know, since you can't seem to discipline your child or to watch your child, and you have the phone being the babysitter of your child, then maybe you need to do your job.
Okay. I hear you. Like you said, maybe, you know, you put some fear of God in the parents, and now they can now help their children. And you know what? It may do something. It may stimulate them for the future as well, Pastor KL, you know, not just for today. You know, it may, like you said, if somebody's either going to spend a couple of days in jail or somebody's going to pay a hefty fine, then you know what? They'll watch that kid going forward. It won't just be this isolated incident, you know, we're sending you to your room and then giving you back your phone in 5 days because a 10-year-old needs no phone. You're never alone. That's why I agree with you. You don't need a phone. You're never alone. You're never unaccompanied, hopefully, at the age of 10. And therefore, you ain't got to call 911 if we together. But, and, oh, you know, if I got a phone, you got a phone. So, you know, I don't know, but I do agree that if you take the parents through some changes, that that'll finally hit the child as well. I actually agree. I fully agree. Well, what about this pilot? You know, what should happen with this pilot? You know, you didn't went to sleep or something for 10 minutes, over 10 minutes. They don't know what you were doing. You can't, you won't even say, I went to sleep. If you did sleep, they still have not gotten a clear answer from this man, because every answer that he's given, they've punched a hole in it. They've done the research to find out if this could have happened, and no. So that's why they're saying they believe he went to sleep. And, I mean, I thought of what Pastor Charlene said. You know, maybe they were doing some drugs, but it ain't going to take you no over no 10 minutes. You do your drug and you move on. So, you know, chances are he was sleeping, but he won't admit to it. So now they fired him. Do you agree that this is what should have happened?
Well, no, I agree. I believe that when the air stewardess said, welcome to flight 5050, where you have 50% chance of getting there or not, you should have known from
you
there
know
when
what?
You have a situation.
You know
but
what?
I think there was, as he kept on lying, I think he should have got fired just because he kept on lying. You know what I'm saying? Every time he said something, they proved that to be wrong. So obviously you were hiding something. You know, if you fell asleep, hey, my bad, I fell asleep. Then maybe there might have been a suspension. But you just kept on lying and lying and lying and lying. Yeah, you don't need to work for us anymore. We can't trust you. And then we can't trust you with that many lives.
Absolutely. 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 This is something that is really, you know, this is no joke, you know. And I agree. If you went to sleep, you went to sleep. Just go ahead and, you know, just deal with it. Why are we lying? Just deal with it.
Right.
And here's the problem. They're saying that, I'm sorry. I was just trying to see something. I saw yesterday and they don't have it anymore. They removed it. You know, they're saying that one of the problems is the fact that, you know, there's this autopilot thing. So I'm going to come back to that. I'm going to give you and Pastor Charlene a chance to think about this. And they're talking about, you know, this sleeping issue and, you know, this autopilot ability. You know, you put the plane on autopilot. This now gives an opportunity for you to go in Z's. So I'm coming back. Let's say thank you so much for joining us this morning. Let's say good morning to our girl, Tamika. Good morning, Tamika.
Good morning and happy Tuesday to you. How are you?
I am well. Thank you. I'm well. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. How are you?
I am doing well as well. Looking forward to this 93 degrees weather that they're predicting for today.
Wow. Well, we want to thank you for stepping in for Pastor Ed this morning. Pastor Ed had to have a medical procedure, so we're going to pray that he's, you know, that's successful and he's well on the other end of that procedure. So thank you for jumping in and, you know, filling in for him this morning. You know, we're talking this morning about this 18-year-old who they say, you know, this is a copycat move with this vest and this handgun and this rifle in this picture and his caption for a Hey Siri request. You know, do you think these are copycat movements?
Yeah, I think copycats are everywhere. My question became, where did you get access to all of this stuff? You know, like, who is it that you know? Who are you being around that you even have access to this type of information or to the items? You know, like, you know, who do you know that has a vest? Who do you know that has this type of stuff? You know, are these items in your home? You know, and then we need to treat this with the same seriousness as I remember vividly because when we had flight when we had the issue with the planes, you know, prior to 9/11, if anybody said anything, you know, along the lines of bombing or any type of threat, they took that with extreme seriousness. You know, I remember a lady, I used to work at the airport, and a lady had mentioned, you know, if she can't make her flight, you know, she was going to blow the whole thing up, you know, and immediately they handcuffed her and took her away, you know. And I think it's important that we take every verbalization, you know, whether it be phone, text, in person, extremely seriously, because you don't know what people say. You know, just because you say it doesn't mean that you're not going to act on it. You know, we've seen many, many instances where somebody does say it, and then months or years later, they do act on it. And I think it's very important that we take it just that seriously.
Okay, okay. Well, do you think he should have been let out on bond in that instance?
I don't. You know, I honestly think, you know, at this point, we have a tendency to belittle. Oh, well, they're only such and such, and they're only such and such. And we've seen it time and time again. Oh, they're 17. Oh, they're 16. Oh, they're 15. You know, we're getting to a point where now you can't underestimate. You know, you've got youth, you know, that are literally taking lives. And we, you know, give them, you know, pat them on the hand, and, oh, that's bad, little Johnny. Oh, that's bad. And we send them back out, and they do it again. You know, and so my thing is just the, you know, the verbalization. If you've got enough guts to verbalize, then you've got enough guts to serve some time, at least 6 months, you know, in some type of holding facility. And not only just the holding facility, you need to understand the seriousness of your actions. Give them videos and footage that shows individuals that threat and follow through, you know, so that you understand what it is that you're doing. This is not funny. This is not a game. This is somebody's life that you could potentially be working on. And we don't know your actions by your deeds, by what you're saying. We're at a point now where we can't just take it as, oh, well, it's okay. No, it's not okay. It's you know, it's not cute. It's not funny. And it needs to stop.
All right. All right. I agree. So are we having the same mentality for this fifth grader who's 10 years old? How are we handling what he did, you know, now that we're talking about, you know, this here?
Okay, I understand that he's 10, and I agree with Pastor KL. Hit mommy and daddy in the pocket, you know. That's the first thing. And again, with this youth, you're 10 years old. I need you to understand what it is that you're doing, how it could, you know, how it could potentially hurt someone else, you know, and just by what you're saying, the information, you know, these people, you know, lived in other areas. You got Buffalo, you got Texas. And just because it happened in Buffalo and just because it happened in Texas doesn't mean that it stops there. You got family members in other states that were affected by these lies. And just by you stating something like that, whether it was text message or in person, you need the same type of training. Understand what it is that you're doing, you know, so that you don't say it again, so that it doesn't happen. You know, somebody, you know, takes your lunch money or you don't get lunch and you decide to text the school. You know, that's very dangerous. Understand what it is that you're doing and how it could affect someone else's life.
Absolutely, absolutely. This pilot, you know, it appears as though you went to sleep at the wheel, and we keep asking you what happened, and for over 10 minutes, you cannot account for your, you know, for what happened, and everything that you say, we keep punching holes in it. What should have been done with him? Did they move right to fire him?
Yeah, you in a job like that, you know, and I think about it just in as a whole, you know, we live in a day and time where God is so patient and he's gracious and he's merciful for giving us chances. But in situations like this, on your guard, you need to be on your guard 24 hours. You don't get a chance to take a break because you've got other lives, you know. And if we look at our daily life like that, you know, that everything that we do, everything that we say affects somebody else, and you need to be on job, on point, all day long, we would handle life so much more differently. With that, you know, I'm thinking, okay, because we have the Mile High Club, you know, when you do things, I honestly believe that the reason why we couldn't get in contact with the co-pilot is because the pilot and the co-pilot were doing the same thing at the same time. You know, so let's just be real. We got adults on this line, so 9 times out of 10, the co-pilot and the pilot were doing each other. I don't care what sexual preference they were. The way that I see it, they were getting busy. And so that was the reason why you couldn't get in contact with either one.
That's my
perspective. And you don't get a chance. You don't get a second chance with that. Mm-mm. Go.
Wow. You went there. Oh, my goodness.
Now, there's some conspiracy theorists for you right there.
I know, because I'm going to tell you something. I never considered that. I never considered one another or each other, however you want to say it. But you know what? Anything is possible, and you can't put – you can't disregard any possibility. So I can't even say, you know, that's a far-fetched thought. And especially, I'm still trying to figure out why you can't, as a co-pilot, speak to what was actually happening in that cockpit. I just don't know. And you know what? You may have hit the nail on the head. Who knows? Oh, my goodness. Well,
and maybe one of those things, you present yourself as straight in the workplace because you have to, you know, and now that you've got that venue to be in there, you know, you do whatever it is that you want to do, you know, but you didn't realize that, okay, people are counting on you. You know, you're not looking at the fact that, you know, I've got it on autopilot, so the plane is getting to where it needs to go. You just, you know, did whatever it is that's the way that I'm looking at it. You don't want anybody to know. You close the door. You do whatever it is that you want to do, not realizing that the whole entire time people were checking on you, trying to see what it was that you were doing.
Well, my question is, couldn't you hear them trying to get in touch with you? And remember now, they tried to reach them on satellite phones as well, the both of them. They tried to reach the both of them on satellite phones. So this is really, you know, this is something else here. Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you so much again for joining us and filling in for Pastor Ed. I have one more question before we move on to our question of the morning or our topic of the morning. You know, you have autopilot in place. And some people are saying they have some comments, but they took the comments down for some reason. But, we were talking about, you know, okay, what do you do? And now the plane is in autopilot. So, you know, you do get to where, you know, you're going, and they said that they managed to get in touch with them like 20 minutes before it was time to actually land. So they had enough time to, you know, get themselves together and get back in gear. Do you think this autopilot feature gives room and too much room for this kind of stuff to happen, for these people to kind of fall off the radar and now, you know, nobody has to be, you know, really say what they were doing because the job was already being done. What do you think, Pastor KL?
Yeah, I think it gives you too much room to kind of mess up. I mean, even when your car is on cruise control, you still got to stare at it and keep your foot on the gas. You know, you still have to do some work. You know, it might go one speed, but you still have to you still have to do what you have to do. When you do autopilot, it's turning, it's doing everything for itself, and it gives you time to walk around and or lay around or do whatever you need to do, and it kind of puts you in a place where now you forget you on the job or you forget there's a destination because you're depending on the electronics of the plane. That's dangerous.
Okay. Lady Tamika, what are we talking about here? Is this autopilot for the good or for the bad?
the sad part about it is it kind of falls in the middle, you know, and that's a sad thing because, you know, we do have a minimal amount of pilots. So, you know, a lot of times are overworked. You know, you get in on a flight and you land, and then right after that, you know, you're going on to another flight. So for someone like that, you know, from time to time, taking your hand off the wheel might be a benefit for you. You know, however, you know, you've got people who just go MIA for 10 minutes, you know. Now, suppose they didn't have enough patience to wait and they just, you know, you gave up lives. You know, anybody, all of those lives could have been gone because you decided to sleep on the job, you know. And so there's the hardship on that, you know. Maybe what you need is to have a monitoring system, you know, so you actually got a visual right there on the plane. So you see what's going on, not just, you know, trying to get up and try and see what's going on from the outside of the plane, but also from the interior of the plane so that, you know, hey, you're going to sleep, or hey, you're not going to sleep, or you're smoking weed, or, you know, you happen to do a little extra with your co-pilot. You know, those are the things that need to be, you know, unfortunately, there's always those bad ones that cause the good to suffer. But, you know, in situations like that, it is important to have that.
Absolutely, absolutely. Pastor Sean, is this autopilot thing for the good or the bad?
Well, I'm like in the middle because of the fact that it's bad when you can't be able to get them and see them. My thought was that maybe they should come up with something because, like Tamika just said, that, you know, by them being short of staff, that, you know, you do get tired. But there's some kind of way they have to be able to monitor it just a little more. And I was thinking of maybe having something in there in the pilot room where that they're able to see, you know, at the tower, I think that's what it's called, and where that they're able to see when they can't get in touch with them, you know, to make sure, okay, they're in there, they might be asleep, but not make it so long, you know, and back and forth. Somebody has to be able to answer. They cannot be on the same time. You know, I'll take my 10, everybody's working for a minute, then you take yours, you know, break it up, something to that. But something where that they're able to see inside to make sure that they ain't doing nothing they ain't not supposed to be doing. Monitor.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm surprised that they have not given any visibility to the flight attendants, you know, where they could actually, you know, see, you know, maybe not get access directly in there, you know, or get in there because, God forbid, something on the outside, you know, you make them open up the door from the outside and all that kind of stuff. But definitely some visibility. So, you know, they could have reached out to the flight attendant. And to me, to have to go to even take another plane to go see what's in the cockpit when you got at least three other people that could see into a cockpit, that to me is really was a little surprising, actually. But, yeah, you know, they've got to put something else in place because I tell you one thing, this is probably the first time they've found out, you know, maybe, they, you know, their timing has been off where other pilots have done the same thing. Or maybe it's the first time they tell him because I've refused to believe this is the first time somebody went to sleep. No. That is the conspiracy theory that I'm thinking about. All right. Here, we've got a church folk question that's been lingering for a few weeks. And it says, a friend of mine went to church recently, and outside the window were new regulations for entering the church. Temperature was taken. You must print and sign your own name to enter. You must evacuate immediately after service. How do we minister to strangers or the hurting when we socially distance and wave from afar? This is a good, a nice question. You know, I do remember that during the pandemic, when the church doors did start opening up, they did have to go through some protocol. They were mandated to take temperature. They were mandated that you had to, you know, write your name on a log, and then they wrote down whatever your temperature was. And then right after service, everybody did kind of go, you know, they had to leave the building and go home. Now that we're, in full swing of having the doors to the church open, it's a little different. You know, you don't have to do all of those steps. You know, you just open up your door. You know, some people are still taking temperature, whether it's by wrist or by forehead. But the question does come into how do we minister or come to how do we minister to strangers or the hurting when we socially distance and wave. What's your thought, Pastor Shaw? And we'll start with you.
Well, normally what we do is I just keep the masses, you know, I still have them do the mass part. And I don't let them be up in my safe space, per se. And then from there, you know, sitting at the table, it's more like at a table setting that I normally do. And where that you're on one end, I'm on the opposite end. So where that still of your safety as well as my safety with it, because we don't know what anybody, because it seems like now you're so on alert that, you know, people start coughing and people, you know, start getting tense through it. So that's pretty much how I do it as of now with that. Being said, I've had some people who have, like, breaking down and, you know, and then they want to take the mask off, but then I am more or less not in front of you. I'm not in front of you, you know, like face-to-face. So I'm more or less on the side of you. So with that, you know, it happens, but, y'all know, that's what I do with that.
Okay, thank you. Pastor KL, you know, what goes through your head when you hear this question?
Well, I mean, I think it's a valid question. However, I would say you don't have to be in my space, or I don't have to be in your space in order to minister to you. I mean, sometimes I'm driving in my car, and there's a song on the radio that ministers to me. So, I mean, it depends on who you are. You know, again, I don't have to be in your face to be ministering to you. I could be on the pulpit and you could be in the seats and being ministered to you. It depends how you receive it, how open you are to the word. Even in counseling, you know, there's folks that even you, Pastor Steph, they call you all the time and you're ministering to them, but you're not in their face. So I don't think that's necessary that I be in your face in order to be effective in ministering. You know, I think we need to take precautions, you know, for what has been going on in this world. So yeah, I don't think they should be offended by it. You know, even that person who needs to be ministered to, you know, needs to take precautions and need to understand, you know, the last thing you want to say is I went to church to get a word and I got sick. You know, what kind of church is that? You don't want all that. You know, so again, I don't think we have to be in each other's face to be effectively ministering.
Okay. Lady Tamika, well, what's your thoughts surrounding this issue?
It's a different day and time that we live in, and different churches have different guidelines, but we do need to be effective, just as effective, you know, especially when you have someone new who comes in, you know, they already have 9 times out of 10 gone through, you know, a multiplicity of things. So they're sitting there waiting to be, to feel the spirit, you know, waiting to be acknowledged. You know, a lot of times when someone new comes, the reason why they leave, you know, it's usually because they weren't even acknowledged. You sit in a corner, You know, and now it's even different, you know, because there are settings, you know, whereas you sit in this seat, you can't sit in the seat beside you. You can't. And I get that. I get all of that. However, I think in this day and time, we need to make sure that those that are coming through our doors are acknowledged, you know, at least speak, you know, come in the morning, you know, hey, how are you? You don't have to, you know, we don't need a whole dialogue, you know, a whole hour, you know, with that one individual. But let them feel the presence, you know, that they're appreciated, that their presence is welcomed, you know, because that's, you know, it's the, and I'm not saying it's just the usher, but it's the usher's responsibility to usher people in the door. And if the usher doesn't do it, then the member needs to do it. If the member doesn't do it, you know, then whomever is there that comes past that person, you know, allow them the accessibility to feel that they're acknowledged. I mean, you know, especially if we're talking about a setting where you're coming in, you know, you got to sign your name, you got to take your temperature, you know, you know, all of that stuff is different from what you used to, you know, and now you walk past them as if they're not there. That's a hardship, you know, and so then it becomes that individual's desire to say either they're coming back or that's the last time that they come. And if they've gotten to the mindset that that's the last time that they come, you won't see them again.
Okay. Pastor Charlene, you've heard, you know, both sides of the fence from Pastor KL, from Lady Tamika. You know, what's your thought when you hear both sides of that?
Minister in different ways. It depends. Like I just was saying about when we on one-on-one, far as ministering, you know, as Pastor KL said, on the phone you can do it, you know, or give them a song. You know, it's so many different ways. Yes, you can minister to them without being in the presence with them, you know, face-to-face meaning. One of the things, though, that Lady Tamika was talking about, I have seen that where that, you know, people will, because of the COVID, and now people don't want to really speak to people and they walk past. I have a problem with that. I greet everybody, whoever it is, and that's one of the things that we have to get past that, you know, of being fearful, because we know God don't give us the spirit of fear, give us power, love, and a sound mind. But in the mix of that, of showing the love, because of the fact that if I come to a place and I'm broken and I'm looking, you know, because it could be because of the pandemic, because I don't have nobody to talk to, because everybody done turned their back on me, or because the ministry that I was in, they're not open and the pastor hasn't reached out to me, I'm coming, trying to come someplace where that I need somebody to acknowledge me, to sit with me, to talk to me, to show me that love of Christ, you know, and that's one of the things, you know, just plead the blood over yourself. You pray, you know, ask God to cover you, you know, and being able to go to that person and sit with that person and talk to them, especially if you don't know them. You know, how do you want somebody to come into your home, you know, and you don't speak to them? I'm not coming back. Why would I come back? You know, because you're not even showing me the love of Christ, but you say you know God. But you the one that's running around the church. But you the one, you know, that's singing on the choir. You no. So we have to get to the place of knowing that God is a protector. He's going to keep us. And for us to be able to still find that way of ministering to them, you know, just as well as, you know, when people need to be embraced, you know, take that chance, call on the Lord. He got you. If you in ministry and you doing his work, you going to be all right.
Okay. Pastor KL, what's your train of thought after hearing, you know, the opposite side, the opposite view?
I mean, I'm in agreement. I stand by what I said, but I'm definitely in agreement. People are coming to church broken. They're coming to church hurt. And even in the pandemic stages, listen, when someone decides to come to church, even through the pandemic, they really going through. They really need something. So to not be acknowledged You know, to me, that's another slap in the face, especially when everybody's staying home watching church at home. If they've gotten up to come to church, they're really desiring something from God. And since you are the closest thing to God that I can see right now, you know, I expect you to extend the olive branch. And if I sit there hurt and I leave there hurt and no one has acknowledged or seen my hurt, then I'm even more distraught when I get to the house.
Okay. Lady Tamika, any further thought in regards to what's been said?
The sad part about that, especially when we're talking about the wounded and the hurt, in situations like that, unfortunately, we do a disservice to the individuals wounded. We also do a disservice to God because we have not done what is necessary. You see the individual, you know that the person hasn't been there. And what we do as people, unfortunately, is we wait till the third or fourth time that the person has gotten there and then, oh, hi, sister such and such, or hi, brother such and such. It's nice to see you again. Because now there's a familiarity, but we need to catch them on that that first time that you see that individual that you know you haven't seen there. Especially if you're a regular member, somebody needs to reach out to that individual before the closing of that day. You know, meaning that before everybody's leaving. And I understand that you got to evacuate. However, you could stand outside the building. You know, right before you go, brother. You know, sister such and such. Nice to see you today. Acknowledge the person. Give them an extra so that they know that they're appreciated, so that they have the desire to come back, you know. I've seen settings, like you said, you know, because of the pandemic, you don't want to be in each other's space. So, you know, you don't want to really talk, you know. You have on a mask, but, you know, because you're in an interior setting, you don't want to. But it is important that person be acknowledged, you know. Waving from the front of the sanctuary may not necessarily pinpoint that individual. You got to have a dialogue with that individual so that they know that they were acknowledged and appreciated and so that they have a desire to come back.
Absolutely. You know, we also talk about follow-up, you know, when a person comes to visit, you know, what's your follow-up? What, you know, how do you, you know, address that visitor? You know, it's a protocol, you know, I have, implemented in this congregation. If a person comes here twice, you need to start exchanging numbers. You know, and I guess, you know, that's still whether you feel comfortable, you know, or not. At the end of the day, I can't take your phone and put that, you know, number in, you know, that person's number in your phone. But, you know, we just happen to have just that type of a congregation where, you know, pretty much we don't have people walking off the street. So if you're visiting, you're someone's connection. You know, someone there has invited you. So pretty much. And not only that, pretty much you've been talked about already. You know, oh, I have a so-and-so, a girlfriend so-and-so, or my coworker, or whatever. You know, someone's mentioned that, bro. You know, they've been asking about church, you know, a little bit, or whatever the situation is. So, you know, it's a little easier to, you know, exchange numbers. But what would be a good protocol as far as how the church, or is there, or should there be, in your opinion, a protocol as to handle new members? You know, right now it sounds like everybody's kind of winging it, you know, but now that the topic has come up, do you just let people wing it? Because you do understand now that there could be this feeling, you know, coming from your visitors, or do you put, you know, something in place? Tamika, I'll start with you.
Well, I do believe that something should be in place, you know, a way to communicate with the individual, whether it's by, you know, and it's up to that individual's preference, by phone, by text, by email. so that we have a way to get in contact with you should you need to get in contact with us. You know, you don't know what that person is going through. You know, is it all right for us to get your email? Can we communicate via email? You know, and when you do communicate via email, put your phone number, you know. If you need to, you know, if you need to talk, if you need someone to pray with you, you know, have that information. Who to get in contact with you if you have such and such, if you have a concern, you want to talk about something. You know, leave their name, their phone number, you know, if you have a head, whomever that head person is, or maybe it's just a lay person that, you know, is gifted in prayer, you know, is gifted in intercession, whatever, you know, need that they may have, if they have, you know, pantry needs, you know, if you have that type of access, you know, provide them. If they're interested in, you know, some type of services that the church provides, you know, give them all the information that they need so that they can, you know, reach out if they choose to, to get access or assistance in any venue that they need help with.
Okay. Good stuff. Pastor Charlene.
I'm hearing an echo. Say that again.
I am hearing an echo.
It might be your phone. I don't know if it's my phone or your phone, but I was asking, you know, what do you think about, you know, do you think, you know, you should continue to wing it, or based on the fact that, you know, these people could possibly be walking through your door with these thoughts or feelings, you know, do you put something in place?
Well, normally what I do is, well, what's in place? We already have something in place. And, yes, it should be something that when the people come in that you have, you know, they come, and then the second time they come, you know, to be able to have that conversation with them. What we do is that when a person comes in, normally when I finish, I usually interact with them. When it's I'll exchange phone numbers with, you know, they're on their second time with myself. If it's a female, normally if it's a male, I give it to my husband. I let him and the deacons and them go talk to him. He exchanges numbers with them. Females, you know, I usually take care of them as they keep coming back. And then somebody in the church, whomever, normally, you know, will sit and have conversation with them, and then they exchange numbers. I normally do it first, you know, just to play safe and to see exactly where they are. Now, if they came and they was coming for a minute and then they stopped coming, to say if they came twice or a third time and then I didn't see them anymore, I text out just to say, see how they're doing, see what, you know, if there's a way that I can help you, any kind of way. And then either they'll say why they not coming or whatever. And then we'll take it from there. But I'm going to reach out. Even if they decide to not even come back anymore, I will be led by the Lord, and sometimes I will just send a text out. Hey, how you doing? You know, if the church, you know, that they're not want to stay with us and they're still searching for somewhere else, I even help you. I would, you know, if you live someplace and it's too far or whatever your reason is, what are you looking for? However, I will even help guide them into, you know, other ministries that I know of. And I say, well, check them out, and maybe that'll be for you, because every place is not for everybody. So that's what I normally do, just reaching out even after, you know, continue to reach out. So that's what we do.
Okay. Good stuff. Pastor KL.
What's your thought on this?
Well, I mean, we do something similar. We have what's called a visitor's card. And if my usher noticed that you have not been there before, We give you a visitor's card. It simply asks you for your name, your address, your church affiliation, if you have one, the size of your family, you know, and your phone number, you know. And if we don't see you in another 2 weeks, we reach out to you, just making sure everything is all right. You know, and some folks, you know, they have a church home, they're just visiting. You know, however, we still reach out to you and make sure all is well, you know, ask how the kids are doing, and, you know, we invite you back. And then even before that, if we have something going on, let's say the next week, we'll say, hey, you know, we have family and friends day, we haven't seen you, won't you come? You know, but we have a visitor's card that we keep on file, and we try to keep in contact with our visitors if we don't see them.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I hope we don't continue to have this going. But thank you so much for your contribution into this conversation. And we give God thanks for you. And we pray you have a blessed day.
Likewise.
You all do the same.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you so much. We, you know, as we're back into the swing of things after having a prolonged weekend, and we definitely have to make sure we get our prayer in today, as we did not pray Sunday night, and we weren't on yesterday. We have to definitely make sure we hold hands and hold hearts and go before the Lord together. Heavenly Father, we thank you, oh God, for just being who you are. Thank you so much for allowing each and every one of us to come through a wonderful, safe, and healthy weekend and ushering into a new week here together, God. We want to give you thanks for, you know, even the purpose of our holiday. You know, where there have been men and women who have tree and they have given their lives for us. And we, you know, commemorate that occurrence. And we remember and we don't take for granted or take lightly all the lives that are no longer with us, you know, through the wars. And, you know, we may have lost a loved one, or a family member, you know, a friend or someone who served this country and just thought nothing of putting their life up for the rest of us. And we ask you, God, to be with their family, to be with their loved ones, God. And, you know, we just give you thanks for everything that you do for us. You do for us through other people. Greater love has no man than this. Then a man laid down his life for a friend. And we understand that, you know, a lot of senseless killings have gone on. We understand that, you know, there have been wars that have been fought that some, you don't even know what ultimately was going on, what happened in the back rooms, the conversations that may have been taken, you know, may have taken place. We really don't know. But at the end of the day, we say thank you. Thank you for people who have walked blindly into that position. And we have not forgotten, and we cannot forget. So, Lord, we just give you the glory and the honor right now for each of us just coming through another day, that we went to bed and we woke up today, that we are still praying for the families of all of these senseless killings that have been happening back to back. And Lord, we're asking you to just do a great healing in the land, because a lot of people are aching and mourning from such a tragic, unexpected loss. Babies. Oh, just babies. They're so innocent. And we're giving you thanks that you have, you know, protected our children, that they have possibly been exposed to some danger that we have no idea. We have no idea that they may have even walked into. And we just honor you today and every day for just watching over each and every one of us, God. Lord, we're just grateful to you that you've kept food on the table. We're grateful, God, that you've kept the roof over our head. We're just grateful to Heavenly Father that, you know, for even extracurricular activities. Thank you. That you have not only supplied our need, but you have given us the bonuses, the additional things that we sometimes overlook and understand as a blessing. But we say thank you. We say thank you because we have not overlooked it. We have not taken it lightly. And we pray, God, that each and every individual would now look at you differently, think of you differently, think on you differently, dear God. And Lord, we're just grateful for all of the blessings that we don't even realize that you just pour and shower us with. We thank you, God, for Pastor Ed being a part of the crew, and we pray, God, that you are with him this morning, that his procedure, dear Heavenly Father, is successful, that the doctors, the correct doctors are in place, the staff has been handpicked. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for covering the machinery and the tools, God, every aspect of this from the beginning to the end, because you are the beginning and you are the end. So we ask you, God, that everything go well. Thank you. Thank you so much. And we thank you in advance for what you're going to do. So, Lord, we're just raising your name higher and higher, lifting you up and your son up higher and higher for all of the passengers who remain safe on that plane where we don't know what was going on with the pilot. If it's correct that he went to sleep, we thank you, God, for the autopilot feature that helps to make people lazy, but God could have possibly saved lives in this instance. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for just watching over that plane and keeping it, just guiding it, watching over each and every passenger, God. And, Lord, we're going to lift up the 18-year-old and the 10-year-old who we talked about today, God, that whether they were serious or whether they were, you know, pretending and playing and joking, that they would understand that this is sensitive, that lives are sensitive and precious, and they should not be playing with the thought, the words, pictures, text, social media postings, that none of this is a joke, and that they would understand that the lives that were lost were senselessly and just that it was senselessly done, and that we need to definitely keep these lives lifted that are left here. Not pretend like we're going to take more. Not make jokes. It's just not a joking time. And if people thought more about the lives that are existing, then we wouldn't have all of this killing going on. So Lord, at times we just walk around with such heavy hearts, but we know that there is a Savior that is in this world today. And we thank you for sending your son. We thank you for introducing him to us, God. And we pray that more and more of your people would stand up and just take a life in their hands and help to guide it and mold it and draw it closer to you. And if we did that on a regular, how this world would change, how the thinking would change, how the understanding
understanding would change, even for a 10-year-old child to think that this is a joke. Even for a 10-year-old child not to even look around at his schoolmates and wonder what life would be like if something like that were to happen in his school. So, Lord, we're asking you to just turn it up. Turn up the sensitivity. Turn up the seriousness. Turn up the love and the kindness and the thoughtfulness, that we would learn to outdo one another in love, that we wouldn't even consider that just the thought of something like that happen would just make us go run and hug someone or tell someone that we love them, not go in the opposite direction. So we thank you, God, that you have brought everybody back to the airways safely. And we're not going to forget, God, that you're the one who allows all of this to happen. Thank you. Thank you and thank you. In the precious name of Jesus, dear God, we thank you. Amen. You know, it's interesting because I read somewhere yesterday that they are considering having a Memorial Day for all of the lives that have been lost to gun violence. And I think it would be a great idea, you know, to do something like that. You know, it's interesting because, you know, Memorial Day is always the launch of the summer. You know, we always, you know, we look to barbecue and picnic and vacation and all of this kind of stuff. But are we honestly thinking about the purpose of the holiday, you know? And, you know, just as time goes on, you know, I thought yesterday just differently, you know, and I thought about a posting that I saw, and they were like, there was a with some fists, African American fists raised through the grass, and they were saying, think of all of the lives that were lost from slavery, and you know it's. You know, everywhere you turn, there's a reason for a holiday. If you think about it, you know, commemorating something tragic or something important, many a day that should just be set aside to honor, you know, these lives. And when I saw those two things yesterday, you know, the fist, you know, coming through the grass, and it talked about the slaves, you know, who lost their lives, or, you know, they had talked about doing something like this after the George Floyd incident, you know, having a Memorial Day for, you know, the lives that have been lost to, you know, to the cops, you know, cops took their lives and, you know, senselessly killed. And so there's something, you know, when you look around, you know, there's always a reason to commemorate or memorialize, you know, lives or an occurrence. But I give God thanks that there's a man named Jesus, that we commemorate his death and his resurrection, not even his birth. And I always thought that was real interesting, that God never told us to celebrate his birth. So Christmas is definitely man
you know, man instituted and has nothing to do with Christ, because it was before Christ was even here. But we were told to commemorate his death and resurrection. And we still don't even manage to do that right. It's just woo, amazing. But at the end of the day, you know, when I think about something like that, that's something to definitely honor. And I think about this particular Lord's Supper that just passed and how it just felt different this year. And it was just something that I paid a little more attention to this year. And I can't honestly tell you why. But, you know, when you think about a life that was given up, you know, he said, listen, you can't take it unless I give it. Ooh. And I think about that and I'm like, thank you, Jesus, for loving me enough that you took the time to go through all of that. You didn't have to. But it was your Father's master plan, and you went through with it. And I thank you, because no one can take it. No one could have taken it unless you gave it. And that's special. That is special. When we think about what he went through on our behalf. And I think about how the Bible says, you know, when we live these wicked, unholy lives, that it's like putting Christ back on the cross. And we don't think about that. You know, we don't think about that. It's not until, again, we study and we read and we study and we read that you even come across those verses. Because that's not generally taught, but it's factual that all he went through, that we could know and be aware of, and at the end of the day we disregard. And this is why we have to be repentant, because to know that we didn't think about it on that level. Now I'm putting Jesus back on the cross. But that's why we got to be repentant, because this is what we're actually doing. And this is the kind of stuff that we just can't walk around and ignore. That we have great responsibility to live a holy life. We can't live lives, you know, our life the way we want to live it. Because there was a life that was given. He suffered, he bled, and he died for us. We have got to do better. We cannot walk around as though nothing was done for us. So let's think about that. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It is Pastor Steph signing off. And I want to thank my Due Time crew for coming through big time. And I want to thank you for hanging out with us today. Oh, please don't miss this opportunity to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Later is not promised to us. Until tomorrow, God spares our life with Wow Wednesday. I love you.